Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are going to study Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. Now, what you're going to be reading about here is the covenant that God made with Abraham and the promise of an inheritance and of a spiritual seed, of a physical seed, of a spiritual seed, and some other things that we'll be looking at today. Covenant with Abraham is fulfilled, according to this text, in Jesus Christ. And so let's read now, because this is very important. Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, basically, let's just get an overview of what we're dealing with here, and then we'll go through and actually look at the various things contained in the verses. You know what you're looking at here? You're looking at this. Before God ever even put a man on the earth, he obviously knew everything that was going to happen, and indeed he should. He's God. So he knew that there would be the coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ being God manifest in the flesh. He knew that there would be life by Jesus Christ, that there would be a death, burial, and resurrection, and all of us who would trust Christ should live forever. He knew all that. Okay, now coming along, here's this man named Abraham. God makes a covenant with Abraham, and that covenant concerns a seed, an offspring. The fulfillment of that covenant is in Jesus Christ, and it deals with an inheritance. An inheritance of eternal life and an inheritance physically of land for a nation of people, the offspring of Abraham, the Jews. So there are promises that are made, and those promises are confirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ literally fulfills those. Between the time that God makes the covenant with Abraham and the time that Christ comes, God gives the law. And what happened to the Pharisees is that for them, the law took precedence over the covenant that God had made with Abraham, and they thought that the covenant was fulfilled in the law, when in fact the covenant was not fulfilled in the law. The covenant was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so consequently, what happened is the Pharisees gave preeminence to the law instead of giving preeminence to Jesus Christ. And they missed the life that comes by putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and instead they killed him, and then later on, after his resurrection, they would not accept him as their Messiah. Consequently, us Gentiles get in on the blessings and promises of Abraham because we accept Jesus Christ as his seed and therefore get in on the inheritance, both the promise of eternal life, and we become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ and get in on a part of the inheritance as joint heirs in the kingdom of heaven. So that's basically what you're reading about here. But we want to actually look at it in detail, because I'll grant you, in looking at this and studying this, it reads kind of difficult in a way, unless you just keep in mind simply the little outline that I gave you. God promised Abraham a seed. Jesus Christ fulfills that promise. Isaac fulfills it in type. And consequently, anybody who will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith will get the inheritance that was promised to Abraham. And the law does absolutely nothing to make the promise given to Abraham any better or any worse. And that's all there is to it. That is what you're looking at. We could basically stop now and talk about the weather for the rest of the broadcast. You've pretty much got the gist of what you're looking at. But let's look at it in more detail than that, so that in studying it yourself, it won't have a tendency to throw you quite so easily. All right, first of all, now keep in mind we're dealing with the covenant with Abraham. All right, so first of all, let's look at the covenant. Verse 15, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men," speaking very commonly then. "Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." Okay, what's the covenant? It's a covenant given to a man. All right, that's God with Abraham. And we'll actually go back now into the Old Testament and look at what was involved in that covenant. All right, but he says then, "Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." Now, to confirm something is to back it up or to bear it out. The backing up of the covenant actually took place in Genesis chapter 17. The bearing out of the covenant actually took place in Matthew chapter 1, 2, and 3. All right, now let's look at this thing real quick. Let's look at this covenant and go all the way back now. And well, let's take another verse and then we'll go back. Verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." So there are going to be several promises involved in this covenant. "He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Okay, well, let's go back here and then look in the Old Testament to see what's going on here. All right, turn to Genesis chapter 13, and let's begin reading with verse 14, and we'll see how this covenant goes. Genesis chapter 13, look at verse 14. Okay, now this is after Lot separates from Abram. The Lord, verse 14, said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, "Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. Watch it, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it." There's one of the promises. It is a physical inheritance of land based upon where he's standing. That would be the land of Israel. Northward, eastward, southward, westward. Take you from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River, all the way up north to Dan, all the way south to Beersheba. "To thee will I give it." And then watch what he says in verse 15. "And to thy seed forever." Now there's the promise of an offspring. Well, he doesn't have a baby yet. So now we have another physical promise, and that is that he's going to have a baby. "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee." Notice something else. He says unto thy seed forever. He's promising eternal life. He's promising at least the continuation of everything in the promise to the seed, if not to Abraham, literally, in that verse. Now let's go to another verse. Look at Genesis chapter 15. There's more conversation of the Lord to Abram, and look at verse 18 in Genesis 15, 18. "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates," and he names the land. So the land grant is actually bigger than the land that I described. It goes all the way from the Nile to the Euphrates and becomes more like a pyramid shape that would take you all the way north of the Sea of Galilee and have a base that runs from the Nile River to the Persian Gulf, basically. All right. Look at 15, chapter 15, look at verses 4 to 7. "Abram said, Behold to me, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir," talking about Eliezer, "but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Spiritual promise now. Physical promise, literal seed. Physical promise, literal land grant. Spiritual promise, righteousness. He counted it to him for righteousness. Consequently, with that righteousness, the promise that the land would be given to his seed and to him forever now includes eternal life. Very interesting. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3 then for just a minute. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. All right, what's the covenant? God made a covenant, a man's covenant, with Abraham, for seed, for land, and for righteousness. Then it says, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Well, what do you mean confirmed? Well, you know how you make a hotel reservation and you call the cashier or the receptionist on the telephone and you want to book your hotel room for a certain night, certain size room, certain time of arrival, guaranteed reservation, whatever, and they'll give you a confirmation number. You get there and they say, I'm so sorry, we're all booked up. You show them the confirmation number. No man disannulleth or added thereto. That allows you to be able to get the room that you registered for. And then he goes on in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many. And you notice when we read this, he kept saying seed singular, and to thy seed. And then Paul tells you by revelation, which is Christ. And this I say, verse 17, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should be made, that it should make the promise of none effect. Okay, so as I told you when we introduced it then, God gave the covenant to Abram. It's fulfilled in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the law that came between and much later then, 430 years after the covenant, it didn't disannul it or take it away. Why? Because it had been confirmed, and in verse 17 it says it was confirmed before of God in Christ. You want to see something here that's very interesting? Go back to Genesis chapter 17 and watch this. This is interesting. Go back to Genesis chapter 17 and look at verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord did what? Look at it. The Lord what? Appeared to Abram. Now, wait a minute. No man hath seen God at any time. So the L-O-R-D, all caps, Jehovah, God Almighty, appeared to Abram. God showed himself to him. Look at verse 15. No, excuse me. Look at verse 22, same chapter, Genesis chapter 17, look at verse 22. He left off talking with him. God went up from Abraham. So he was there physically standing on the earth. Well, the only person that could possibly have been is a pre-incarnate vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, we have an interesting thing here. The confirmation, the backing up of the covenant, was given literally in the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. And it was given literally when Christ arrived on the earth and was born. That is, Christ bore out that's what confirmation means, to bear it out. Christ bore out the covenant when he was born, and he backed it up when he appeared. He appeared in Genesis chapter 17, and then flip over here to Matthew chapter 1 real quick, and notice how the Bible clearly shows you where Jesus Christ came from. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of whom? Abraham. Isn't that interesting? Now notice in Genesis chapter 17, statement here in verse 8, verse 7 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed. Singular. After thee in their generations. For an everlasting covenant to be God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Notice, an everlasting covenant. He would have to have everlasting life to be able to enjoy that everlasting covenant. Verse 8, I will give it unto thee and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. If he keeps saying, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed for an everlasting possession, he would have to have eternal life. Where does he get that from? Faith, which gave him righteousness, and by righteousness he has life. Look at verse 19. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So Isaac is the fulfillment physically of the covenant that God made with Abraham, and Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that covenant both physically and spiritually, because that's where the eternal life comes from. So we have, first of all, the covenant, which is land, seed, and righteousness. The confirmation of the covenant, where God literally appears, would have to be a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 17. So the covenant is confirmed before of God in Christ, and then actually born out by Christ when he is born. And no man, verse 17 says, disannulleth, that it should make the promise of none effect. And the law couldn't do it, because the law came 430 years after, and this promise was made. Now he keeps saying, and of thy seed, which is of Christ. So we've looked at the covenant, we've looked at the confirmation of the covenant, and we've looked at the promises of the covenant, the seed, the land, the righteousness. But he keeps reminding us that he says seed singular, and that's important, because Abraham actually has Ishmael, he has Isaac, and in Genesis chapter 25, he married Keturah, and he had a lot of other baby boys after he married Keturah. So which one of the seeds would fulfill it? In Keturah, he has Zimram and Joksham and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shuah. He's got a lot of children in Genesis chapter 25. The literal fulfillment is in Jesus Christ. So the seed of the covenant is Christ. And it had to be Jesus, because Isaac did not live forever, and in order for him to be able to have an everlasting covenant with God Almighty, he would have to live forever, and the only place you would get eternal forever life is in Jesus Christ. So the covenant, verse 15, is with Abraham. It's a man's covenant. The confirmation of the covenant in verses 15, 16, and 17 is in Christ Jesus. The promises of the covenant are land, seed, and righteousness. The seed of the covenant is Christ. Now, what about the law in verse 17? This comes here, the law. 430 years later, couldn't disannul the promise. Had no effect on it. Look at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and look at verse 40, 41. This thing comes way after the promise, but it's given because of the transgressions. Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 and 41. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Well, there's the problem. They came out of Egypt where they had picked up all kinds of nasty habits, and the Lord lays down a law, and all these things that were allowed to them before are no longer allowed. God separates them out as a very peculiar people with a very special type of a law, but that law never grants them an inheritance. And that's the next thing we want to look at. We've looked at the covenant, the confirmation of the covenant, the promises of the covenant, the seed of the covenant. Now we're looking at the law. Now look at the inheritance. In verse 18, if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And you know something? That's the way inheritances are passed down today, is they're just by promise. A child who is a child is granted his inheritance from his father, not because he keeps a certain set of rules and regulations, but because he is born into that family. So if the inheritance is of the law, then it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And that was a promise of life, that was a promise of land, and that was a promise of righteousness, and that was a promise of the seed. The law can't give any of those things. So verse 19, what was the purpose for the law? Well, he says here at verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So the end of the law then is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 3, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is that? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Just like Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, therefore you and I must believe God and it is counted to us for righteousness. Because you see, the law and the prophets were until John, according to Luke 16:16. After that, the preaching of Jesus Christ gives righteousness. The work of the law is done at that point. So it's a strange thing how people today attempt to keep religious ordinances and laws and rules of their religion in hope of eternal life and will not place all of their faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and have that counted to them for righteousness. They actually think somehow or another they are going to inherit eternal life. They are going to inherit the possessions of God. They are going to inherit the promise of God by simply doing things when in fact nobody has ever been able to keep all of the law. You know, it's what we talked about yesterday. People will justify themselves by the things that they keep, and they will refuse to talk about the things that they can't keep. I was talking to a Catholic family one day, and we were visiting about various things, and they said something about statues. And I said, well, the Bible has some interesting things to say about why those are wrong. And so as we got ready to look in there, I read a verse of Scripture, and they said, no, that's enough. We don't want to hear anymore. We've heard enough. We're tired. We just don't want to hear that anymore. Why? Because in that case, they intended to keep doing what they were doing in their religious worship, aided by the statutes, when they knew from the Word of God that God did not approve of what they were doing. And in order to continue to justify themselves in what they were doing, they neglected to follow what God said in the law. And that's the way it is when people try to justify themselves by the law. They will only point to the various laws that they can keep, and they will not point to the ones they cannot keep. Now, the end of the law for righteousness is Christ Jesus. But look at the ordination of the law. Verse 19, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So the ordination of the law was by angels, and the mediator of the law was a man named Moses. So what's the deal here then? The comparison is that, verse 20, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. The comparison, and we'll deal with this in just a little bit more detail, but the comparison is this. With the law, you needed an ordination. To ordain it would be to proclaim it or to lay it down or to command it or to establish it. It was ordained by angels. And it was, the mediator was Moses. But now look at this thing with Jesus Christ and eternal life. The covenant with Abraham was given directly by God. God gave it, not the angels. And it was confirmed by God and mediated by God. And there was no need for a mediator because God was dealing directly with Abraham. This is a great thing then. When you come by faith of Jesus Christ to God Almighty, after you have received Christ, then there's no longer the mediator. See, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But once you come together, you have access directly to the Father and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you go directly to God. And so Abraham's covenant is far superior to the law in the fact that it was given directly by God to the man and given directly to us by God himself. Now, this thing says it was ordained by angels. I don't want to drag this out into a long discussion, but if you'll go to Acts chapter 7, verse 53, you'll notice that angels gave the law. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20 to 33, an angel would go before them into the land of Canaan. Exodus 33, verses 1 to 2, an angel goes with them. Exodus 19, verse 11, the angel of the Lord, and so forth and so on. Numbers chapter 20, verse 16, Judges chapter 2, verse 1, show you that that what Paul says here when he says angels, plural, there are several appearances. Some may have been the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the one in the burning bush there would definitely be, and the angel, capital A, that's a captain of the Lord's host that goes in before him, pre-incarnate vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have the law and the ordination of the law and the mediator of the law. The mediator is Moses. The ordination is by angels. The law itself serves its purpose until the seed comes, who is Jesus Christ. So when we have a mediator between God and men, that is Jesus Christ to bring us to God. And once we come to God, we are then children by faith underneath the covenant that God gave with Abraham. And that was a direct covenant. It didn't need a mediator, and it didn't need to be proclaimed by anybody other than God himself. So, in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law, but it can't give life. It can't give life, and the reason it can't give life is that, number one, nobody can keep it. John chapter 7, verse 19, the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with the Pharisees, and he lays it on the line for him. He says it right, a bit really upset him, but he lays it on the line. He says, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? They didn't. They couldn't. Why? Because the letter killeth. The Spirit giveth life, and you don't get the Spirit of God by the law. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So you can't get righteousness. You can't get life by the law. So, verse 22, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, and that's because of the law. It showed you that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So once again, Paul has completely and absolutely dismantled any hope whatsoever of being able to get to God by keeping some set of rules and regulations, not the least of which is the law of Moses. The only way that you are ever going to come to God is by simply putting all of your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Therefore, you will then come into the covenant with Abraham, where you are given spiritually eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.